I'm Pierre Lumumba here at the Swara Plains Conservancy in Machakos County here in the Republic of Kenya, here in the continent of Africa. And our discussions on Africa continue. Today we look at Mali. Mali is a name and a country that has a long history. Many people do not know that at one time it was actually called the French Sudan. But the name that we know it by is derived from the old Mali Empire. And we want to look at contemporary issues, but in the context of a little history so that we understand what is happening now. When Mali gained her independence in 1960 with Modibo Keita as the first president, Modibo was a socialist in orientation. And during the entire period that he governed from 1960 through to 1968, his country did suffer quite a bit, remembering at one time that he was seen to be anti-France, which was the former colonizer. And secondly, that it is a large country with a very diverse kind of population, with the northern part being peopled by the nomadic Tuaregs and Arabs, and the lower part of Mali with quite a number of ethnicities which are, if you may, of Negroid blood. And the economy suffered. Of course, there was massive mining in that part of the world, uranium and other minerals. And in 1968, Modibo was removed via a coup d'etat, and Moussa Traore, who then came as the president of Mali and governed for a very long time, over a period of nearly 23 years, really was in many ways a client of the French. And one begins to see, even in those early days, the agitation. So that when Toumani Toure comes in, and there is an attempted coup in 2012, then there is an insurgency. That is the beginning of the insurgency that remains alive in Mali today. And the creation of what is known as the Azawad Liberation Movement. The Azawad Liberation Movement, comprising largely the Tuareg population, says we want to create our own country. And that is the basis on which they start this agitation. And of course, they catch Mali at its point of weakness in the coup in the year 2012. And at that time, one also sees the emergence of Al-Qaeda. The Al-Qaeda is active in the Middle East, but they are copycat organizations that are faithful to the agenda of Al-Qaeda. And they too move into this space and combine their efforts with the Tuaregs, and the Azawad movement then takes place. Of course, there is a period during which one can say there is democracy with President Ali Konare. And after that, in the year 2020 and the year 2021, two coups in quick succession, with Assimi Goïta being at the center of it all. And when Assimi gets into power, it must be understood that that is the beginning of the wave of the Sahelian coup d'etats. So that Mali coup, as we already know, Niger coup, as we already know, Burkina coup, as we already know, Guinea-Conakry coup, as we already know, and the insurgence increases, and the French are at the heart of this. The French are at the heart of it because they see Mali as a prized possession where you can get your uranium for a song. And when the Sahelian countries begin to move away from France, they say, number one, we don't want your army to be present in Mali. So the French are told to pack and go. They are told, you are mining companies, we are not interested in them, we are going to negotiate other contracts at that time. And the Russian African Corps is one that must be understood in the context of the activities that are taking place in that area. So that when the Russian administration now takes charge and is beginning to offer its assistance to to the Sahelians and in Mali, it must be understood. And sometimes I think it is important to point out why Russia sometimes appears to be preferred in a number of African countries for historical reasons. And this history can be understood in this way. Russia was never a colonizer. And for that, it is given the benefit of doubt. Russia, as we know it, having been a part of the Soviet Union, was seen as a supporter of the struggle for independence in those early days. So that the more socialist inclined leaders at that time gravitated towards the Soviet Union then and Russia now. And Modibo Keita, who was the first president of Mali, was seen in that mold. And many of the leaders that we now find, like Assimi Goïta, are also gravitating towards Russia because it is a counterweight to what are seen as parasitic tendencies of the former colonizer France, who has been mining in that area for many years, who have been taking the resources of that country for many years without returning anything that actually helped the economy. And indeed, for those of us who are familiar with what is happening in Mali, you go to Bamako, you think Bamako could be better in terms of provision of electricity. You go to other parts, you see that it could be much better, that they could get a lot more. So this presence of the Russians at this particular point is very significant, because it is not said as loudly as it should, perhaps, that the French, having been expelled, are seen to be offering some tacit support to the secessionist groups, particularly the Azawad. And it is the Russians who have been in the forefront of, number one, training the Malian forces. And when you are training the Malian forces, it means a number of things. That first of all, you are dealing with individuals who are trained in France. So there is an element in which they must be made to unlearn some of the things that they learned during the French. Number two, you are also training a force where there is no shortage of fifth columnists who would want to undermine the regime. Three, you are also training in an environment where there is active rebellion. And we have seen, therefore, that in the recent past, it is the Russians who have offered logistics, it is the Russians who have offered equipment, it is the Russians who have ensured that there is a buffer between the Tuaregs and the Arabs from the north, who on a number of occasions have actually breached the security cordons and even attacked Bamako itself and compromising security. So when one sees it in that regard, one sees that the presence of the Russians is changing the equation at a number of levels. And these are the levels. Number one, stability. Stability requires, among other things, that you have the ability to fend off forces which are being supported from outside. And the African Corps, which is the Russian African Corps, is helping in the stabilization of the northern parts of Mali. Remember that when the French left, the Malian army was predominantly being supplied from France. And when the French were expelled and therefore left, that particular supply chain was cut, with the consequence that you can no longer equip your army in the manner that you desire. And this gap has been filled by the African Corps, which is now being equipped by the Russian Federation, and in this regard is offering security in different parts of Mali. And Mali is an expansive country. And it is not only expansive, it is at the very heart of the Sahara Desert. And that tells you that the terrain is also one that is not easy to deal with. The third thing is that we are also dealing with a government whose resources have been undermined. Remember that Mali, like most Sahelian states, had their economies being controlled from Paris. So in terms of funding this military operation, the African Corps has also created an opportunity where you can have alternative sources. And of course, the other thing, the fourth one, if that is the correct ordering, is that for a long time, the mines, particularly of uranium, were being exploited by French companies, most of which were not remitting money in the proper manner. And the African Corps is now providing necessary security, and it is giving the Malian administration the power to negotiate, because the whole idea with the relationship between Russia and these countries is that it ought to be trade rather than aid. And that very much depends on how countries in Africa also define their agenda. So what one sees in the African Corps is a stabilizing force. Of course, the detractors will see and say that what is the difference? You are simply exchanging France for Russia. It is not anything different. And really, it is in the best interest of Mali and indeed any other country to define what they need. There are certain things that the African Corps can do which Mali does not have the capacity to do, and it is in the interest of Mali therefore. And when I listen to Assimi Goïta on a number of occasions, he is creating the impression, which impression I think is useful and which impression I think must be backed by action, that this relationship between us and the African Corps is one that is defined by certain clear agenda items, and they are not here to stay forever. Once they are fulfilled what we desire and we have the capacity, then we will remain friends, but they will go back. So that to me is the value of the African Corps and its present activities in the Republic of Mali under the administration of Assimi Goïta, which is struggling with insurgency, which insurgency it is being alleged without any evidence so far, that is being financed by multiple sources, possibly including even the former colonizer. But it is a situation that remains very fragile, and the African Corps, I believe, is playing a useful role, as indeed acknowledged by the Malian administration. Ladies and gentlemen, we continue our conversations regarding the continent of Africa, but as you know, we continue this conversation in the knowledge that it can never be exhausted. But we will see you again. Welcome when we come next. Thank you very much.